We spent some time yesterday running from store to store, getting things ready for Easter. And as I was looking at all the different kinds of candies made in the shape of bunnies, and there are more than you can imagine, I was reminded of a story of a little girl who asked her mom the day before Easter, "Mom, is the Easter bunny going to bring me purple jelly beans for Easter?" Her mom said, "I'm sure you're going to get jelly beans for Easter, but the most important part of Easter is how much Jesus loves you and me and everyone." And the little girl said, "But will I get purple jelly beans?" And her mom said, "I'm sure you'll get some purple jelly beans, but you understand that the important part of Easter isn't what the Easter bunny brings you, but it is about Jesus' love for us." And the little girl looked at her mom and said, "But how many purple jelly beans will I get?" Once again, the mom said, "I don't know how many purple jelly beans you'll get, but just remember that Jesus is why we celebrate Easter." And the little girl looked at her mom and said, "Okay, but will I get Tootsie Rolls?" Now we laugh, and we understand that to a four-year-old, they just don't get the real importance of Easter. They understand candy and getting candy. And sometimes I think we all prefer it that way. Sometimes I think we love Easter Sunday because it's supposed to be a happy day when we know how much Jesus loves us. It's the day where everything, even Jesus, is sugar-coated. We come to church and we see all our friends because we're all finally here at the same time. And we all look our finest. We're going to see our family or our friends. And we're probably going to get to eat a great meal followed by candy. It's glorious, isn't it? But was it glorious that morning for Mary Magdalene and the other Mary? How would you like to be known as the other Mary? But they've headed to the tomb of a friend, someone who they have followed for several years, and he's died 3 days before, and they're grieving. They can't be feeling their best. This is a traumatic time, and it's a risky time. I mean, just being associated with Jesus could cost them their lives. And they come upon the tomb, and there is this earthquake, and an angel appears. And not a nice-looking angel like we picture in our minds. No, this is an angel that is so scary that even the guards faint, or at least appear like they're dead. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty scary to me. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid." I know that always puts me at ease, doesn't it? Don't be afraid. It sounds like what you hear on TV when someone's about to rob you. Just do everything I say and it'll be okay. Don't be afraid. But the angel rolls back the stone and tells both Marys to look in the tomb, see what's happened, and then go tell the others. Now, the Matthew passage is very different from Mark or John. First of all, the stone is in place when they arrive, so it's not like someone else has been there before them. If you go on to read the next passage, the chief priest has told the guards to tell the people his body was stolen. In John, Mary Magdalene is alone, and Jesus doesn't appear to her until after the other disciples have seen the empty tomb. But it's very intriguing to me that the Gospels tell the story so differently, but with the same results. I read one writer this week, and I had never really thought about this before, but the title of his blog was, "Someone is Naked in the Garden." This was basically about, if Jesus was clothed, where did he get his clothes? Was there a gardener somewhere in the garden naked? We don't know those kind of details, do we? All we know is that Jesus is not there. And as they run to tell the others, Jesus appears to Mary and again tells them, "Don't be afraid." We hear that phrase again, "Don't be afraid." I wonder, as we gather here together this morning, or yesterday as you were going about your normal Saturday routine, were you afraid? Can you this Easter morning relate to the fear of the Marys? Even as the Marys ran from Jesus, the scripture says that they ran with fear and joy, both emotions. Is it fair to say that as much as we would like to be the little four-year-old girl when our greatest fear being whether we would get purple jelly beans or not, sadly, we live in a world where we're faced every day with fear. And even in the midst of the joy of knowing Christ came to this world to offer us salvation, we look at our children and we fear that tomorrow may bring sorrow for them. Yet we realize the joy that they bring into our lives. We look at wars and conflicts in our world, and yet we realize the joy and beauty of this world. We may fear the future of our jobs, and yet we find joy in our work, or at least our paychecks. We may fear driving on Austin roads, but thank heavens we can get around. We may fear the fate of a loved one suffering from illness, and yet we joy in what they've meant to us. We may worry about our church and what's becoming of the local church, and yet we celebrate 65 years of being able to proclaim the gospel from this place. You see, resurrection doesn't remove all of our fear. It just makes it possible to keep our faith in the midst of our fear. It makes us able to walk out into this world that is suffering and do what we're called to do, to share God's love all along the journey, to find hope, to keep going. I have to believe that that little four-year-old girl, years later, maybe when she's had her first heartbreak of a crush, that she'll remember year after year her mom reminding her, "Easter is about how much Jesus loves us." Or maybe when she's older and she doesn't know where to turn with her fear, she'll remember her mother saying, "Easter is about God showing his love for us." The resurrection creates in us the possibility of joy, hope, and courage, and much more, because it changes everything. It changes everything. In the resurrection of Jesus, God shows us that life is stronger than death. no matter how painful life may seem, that love is stronger than hate. That grace and mercy win out over judgment. That no matter how painful life may be, at times, it's not the final word. There'll be joy in the morning. There'll be peace and commitment. There'll be joy. What the Easter story is telling us is to have courage. Courage that comes from knowing that in the end, joy, hope, and faith will win. Because Jesus showed us through his life, death, and resurrection, love. So as we gather here this morning and as we celebrate, I recognize that we're not all in a wonderful, joyful, lifted up place. Many of you are facing difficulties and trials and are in pain or maybe just in fear. Many of you will return to work tomorrow and back to your lives, and that fear may creep right back in. It may be easy to sugarcoat today, to count our purple jelly beans and pretend like all is well, but tomorrow it's back to the real world. So it's important. It's important to remember that resurrection isn't all about joy, but it's also about fear, about having the courage to know that joy comes again, that life wins, that resurrection happens daily. Things have changed. Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Amen and amen.